WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Yes, I'm wearing the State Fair shirt. We're going to be at Catonsville on Friday doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. I'll be giving away the Instant Lottery Scratch-Offs, the first ever throwback. I think these tickets are special lucky. I have to ask John about that this week because we had a lot of winners. We had some winners last week and the week before. We've been all over town. We've been from Fadley's downtown and in Federal Hill at Captain Larry's all the way over to McFall's and the Oyster and Reel on Thursday. Had a great day over there with Glenn McFall, as well as my pal Terry Cook, and a long, long chat with Pete Carinci, former UMBC head coach for soccer, but and they're honoring him again later on in the month, so we'll be honoring Pete all month around here. One of the great conversations of the year I had with Pete Carinci at McFall's. We're going to be at State Fair on Friday. It's all brought to you by Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 5 years, 0% financing through May. This guy has been doing double duty. The Lamarathon is now over with. So I guess he's just going to show up at OTAs. All the drama we had last year is not going to be there. So all the drama we have here moves down to Camden Yards now. The Orioles home for the next week and a half as... like, they're a contender. They're a contender, Luke Jones. And certainly over the weekend, played like a contender against a legitimate outfit down in Atlanta. They won a championship recently. People come to their games on the weekends. And it was a noble effort, but a rare loss series for the 2023 Birds.
Yeah, first one in quite a while, although they did win another series opener, which they continue to be perfect in series openers. So we'll see how they do about Tampa or against Tampa in that regard. But, you know, it's a series loss, and I know it's disappointing. And my goodness, they had so many opportunities on Sunday specifically. They're what, 1 of 14, 1 for 14 with runners in scoring position. They left 11 men on base. Opportunities really early in that game to really put some runs on the board against Elder, and they didn't do it. But I think you look at that series and you just mentioned it. I mean, a recent World Series champion, Atlanta's been the best team in the National League record-wise, and the Orioles lost 2 out of 3. We get that. But one team has to lose the series, right? So if you have two good teams going up against one another, and I think at this point in time, it's not – I don't feel out of bounds in saying Atlanta's the better team, but I don't think it's this dramatic gap where you say, oh, the Orioles – yeah, they were exposed this past weekend or anything like that. They lost a series on the road, and they lost two really close games. You know, they gave up a late home run on Saturday, and then on Sunday they lost in 12 innings. So I don't think it's anything to be discouraged about or anything that's telling other than some of the issues that we've talked about in the sense of this team plays a lot of close games. We know the starting pitching, which you know, wasn't awful over this series by any means, but – it hasn't gotten them a ton of length. So then in turn, when they're playing these close games, they've got a lot of medium to high leverage bullpen innings to cover. And I know every single night when it's not Yennier Cano or Brian Baker or Felix Bautista out there, when it's close, right away, everyone's saying, well, what's Brandon Hyde doing? Well, Brandon Hyde and the organization, and it's collective. You know, the front office is involved in these conversations as well. But they've got a 162-game schedule to navigate here, and you can't just run your high-leverage relievers into the ground. So what happens is, yeah, you do need to pass the baton a little bit, and when you're playing close games, you're going to have some relievers who don't quite do quite as well as you'd like them to. So, but that's
when you can't shuttle them in and out with the new rules. And well, you mentioned high and medium leverage situations. How about putting a guy on second base and saying to your closer, come on in? Because that's not what what closers are about, right? Like, so Sunday's game was like a season. I mean, so was Thursday's game. I mean, they played some sort of epically long, weird, high scoring and low scoring extra inning games. They've had a lot of circumstances. I mean, I feel like I've seen a lot of kaleidoscope of baseball over the last 2 weeks of every kind of game you can imagine, from beating the snot out of them 11-1 to falling behind. Like they've managed to, at least before they get to these good teams, they have high highs, low lows, but more than that, they're like way better than, I don't want to say the 14 Orioles, because that's hallowed around here because people that are 20 years old have never seen good baseball. This is the best team at this point in the season, I don't know, dude. I'll go back to 97. I mean, I'll give you the 14 team wherever you are. And part of that for me is this possibility that they're going to get better. Not that they're going to have to trade for some veteran or whatever. They had better players in 9. They had Hall of Famers in 9. They had, you know, they spent a lot of money on that payroll back then. The 14 team, there was some payroll. There was some youth. There was a little Machado early on and like all that. This thing here feels different to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not ready to say that they're better than 2014 or anything. I mean, it's May. First of all, it's May. It's the second week of May. However, your latter point, I absolutely agree with from the standpoint of where this team is and where these players are in their respective careers, where this team is in terms of where it was even a year ago at this time. A year ago at this time, we were at Adley Rutschman watch point at this point, right? It was, okay, is it going to be this series? Is it going to be next series? Is it going to be the series?
No, but there's something else on top of that, Luke, that you're forgetting about. We know we stink. We know we stink. Whether he comes up or not, they stink. This year, they don't stink.
Right. No, but my point is we're not that far removed from them being in the position that they were in early May last year, which was, okay, it doesn't feel as awful as it did the year before or the year before that, or certainly the 2 years prior to that, but still has a really long way to go. So I agree with your general point. I think they went
from stink to good pretty quick, though. I guess that's my point. And it happens that way in baseball.
Sure. Sure. No question about it. I think they're good. I don't know if they're great yet. But I think they're good.
But
I
you don't need two or three years of season credibility for them to be a 90-win team to say they're here if they're here. And I think they're here.
Okay. Yeah. And time's going to tell with that. And look, they've got the third best record in baseball. But at the same time, we also know that they've got some tough opponents coming up. And, you know, they lost 2 out of 3 to Atlanta. Nothing to be ashamed about whatsoever in doing that. It's not as though those two games they lost by 6 runs each or anything like that. But now you do have Tampa coming in. It does look like Pittsburgh coming in after them. The Pirates have really fallen off, which, by the way, the Rays had a big part in sending the Pirates into their tailspin. But, yeah, we talked about this after the conclusion of April, that business is going to pick up and we're going to see how this team fares now. And I think there's plenty of reasons to be confident in how they are going to fare, but time will tell. And, you know, with that, they are a young team and that's what's exciting. At the same time, they're going to go through some rough patches here. I don't think there's any question about that. I don't think they're going to be a team that's has a 667 winning percentage at the end of the day by any means, but I think they're going to be right there. And I think what's frustrating is you look at the fact that they begin the Tampa Bay series 10 games over 500, and yet look at the schedule and look at the standings. They're 5.5 out. I mean, that's what's frustrating, because you have the second best record in the American League and you're 5.5 games out of first place with the Rays. Not quite 84 Tigers like, but it's not too far off from that when you look at what they've done collectively with their offense and their pitching. I mean, they've just not just beaten teams, they've blown them out. So that's what's kind of, you know, disconcerting if you're the Orioles or any team in the AL East chasing Tampa right now. But yeah,
and you don't get as much of a chance to catch up because you're not playing them as much.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's a fair point. So, you know, I mean, I think from that standpoint, I still have questions on the pitching side about this team. And I think what's good, I mentioned some of the bullpen arms, Dylan Tate, Michael Givens, you know, rehab assignments. Their return is coming here shortly or should be. And, you know, that will help. Now you have to make tough decisions in response to that in terms of who's going to go. But it really just comes down to they are relying on their bullpen a lot. That's not unique in today's game. Let's be clear about that, because you look at looking at bullpen innings right now as we get ready to start this Rays series. I think the Orioles are 8th in the majors in relief innings. Now that tells you right there, and they use their bullpen a lot, but that tells you lots of teams do that. The difference is, and Tampa Bay uses their bullpen a ton. The difference is the Rays have been playing a lot of 7-1 kind of games where, you know, not exactly a high-pressure situation you're throwing relievers into when it's like that, whereas the Orioles are just playing a lot of close games. So, again, not sounding the alarm, just that's my observation as far as where they stand right now. But, you know, nothing to be overly discouraged about. You know, they could have swept that series. I think that's the frustrating thing. They easily could have won all three against the Braves. Came up a little bit short. But, again, nothing to be discouraged by. And I think if you were looking for a litmus test, the eyeball test anyway, they played with the Braves. And I think what was really neat about that series, Nestor, you mentioned it with the attendance down in Atlanta. For early May, that series had a it kind of had a, I don't want to say an October feel to it, but it at least had to me a late August, September kind of feel to it, that the games felt important and people were into it. There were a
Well,
decent number
there's a
of
chance
Orioles
to
fans
prove
there.
yourself now that you're
Yeah.
not going to have a chance to prove yourself again unless you play them in the World Series, right? In these interleague
Yeah.
games, right? This is your one
Yeah.
chance to say we held our own against them. And by the way, if they finish 28 games over 500 at the end of September, you'll look back and you'll say, yeah, they could have taken two out of three against the Braves. And if they see them in October, there's no fear there. There's no weirdness about walking into that stadium. Adley Rutschman's been there now. They all know their way down there. They all remember losing in extra innings. Luke Jones here, by the way, big week around here. A lot of baseball, a lot of home baseball. Remains to be seen whether people are going to get out of Camden Yards and watch them play. Giveaways, Pirates, Willie Stargell, Omar Moreno. I'll wear a whistle all week just so you recognize me. Yennier Cano, in every baseball season that matters, there's a Jim Traber, there's a there's a revelation, and Alan Ramirez. Ooh, well, there's an old one for you. Guys that come up for a minute or two and make something happen and have a moment. I don't know that Yennier Cano is going to be on the team in August or September, but certainly this has been as weird a couple of weeks for any pitcher anywhere to find himself in this circumstance by, oh, you're next up, even though we don't want you. Come on up and take the ball, right? Now, it's kind of where they were 2 or 3 weeks ago with this guy.
It really is remarkable what he's done. I mean, he was part of that Jorge Lopez trade last year, with the Twins, and he's not a young man. I mean, he's 29, right? I mean, this isn't some prospect who was ranked in all these different things. I mean, he was an arm that they clearly identified as, had some ability, had some stuff, but it was not translating. And even last year, when we saw him pitch for the Orioles, it was not good. I was even talking with some reporters last homestand, and the overall sentiment from some of the reporters on the beat during spring training was, is Yennier Cano going to stick on the 40-man roster even? I mean, that was the thought, and certainly there was no thought to him making the club out of spring training, and he was optioned and all of that. But for him to come in and do what he's done now over the last 3 weeks, I mean, think about it. A month ago at this time, he was still in AAA and not even on the radar. We were talking about someone like Joey Crable, if there was going to be someone called up from AAA, or DL Hall or someone like that, if they needed another bullpen arm. So for him to do what he's done, which, look, there are relievers who can get on a roll from a standpoint of you get quite fortunate with batted balls, where it's hit right at infielders, or you get really lucky in that regard. But I mean, 16 innings, two hits allowed, striking out 10.7 per nine inning. He hasn't walked a batter yet. I mean, think about that. He hasn't walked a batter yet. And it's absolutely incredible what he's done. Now, he'll give up some runs eventually. He'll walk some batters at some point in
And
time.
they'll stare back at him.
But everything about it is, again, this isn't some reliever who's just been very fortunate. Yeah. That's part of it. There's always some an element of luck and good fortune or bad fortune mixed in with how you pitch, but he's missing a lot of bats. He's got that sinker, he's got that motion that's a little unorthodox. He's got some off-speed stuff. I mean, it's a really good repertoire, and I feel like it's really someone that they've made some adjustments with. And like I said, I think they identified an arm that hadn't really panned out in Minnesota's system, and it kind of been up in the majors, but nothing to write home about whatsoever. And they said, you know what? We'll take this guy. He's not, and he wasn't the centerpiece. Let's be clear about that. This was not the guy that was identified as, oh, here's who we're getting for Jorge Lopez. It was, oh, we're getting this guy with a few other young pitchers that might be something for us one day.
But
And
know
they've
you're going
really.
to get a guy thrown into a deal that's going to give you 2 weeks of clean sheets at any point. It feels like a good, it's already a good trade.
Sure. But that's the thing. I mean, I think it's sustainable. Now, a zero ERA is not sustainable. Let's be clear about that. But there's nothing about this that feels like, oh, this isn't real. This doesn't feel like, when you call up some quad A kind of hitter and he's got three great weeks, like you mentioned Jim Traber a few minutes ago. But I mean, he's really been good for them. And I think what's encouraging about it is him doing this has come at a time where Felix Bautista, you look at the raw numbers, 1.72 ERA, I get it. And he's striking out a ton of batters. But if you watch Bautista, the eyeball test, the splitter hasn't been quite what it was for him last year. And that's not to say it won't be, but you can kind of tell in some of his outings, he's searching for it. Now, it helps when you throw 102 and you have that kind of ability to get through outings when you're a little erratic. But my point is, when you have Yennier Cano, and I'll throw Brian Baker in there as well as he's pitched overall for them since the really bad outing on opening day, it's allowed them to not have to lean on Bautista quite as hard. And Brandon Hyde has talked about this. He flat out said, really don't want to use Bautista before the ninth inning this early in the season. Now, come August, come July, come September, it's a different story. But you're in a position where you've already been able to throw Cano out there to save a couple ball games for you at a time where you want to avoid Bautista, just because you don't want to put too much on him. And keep in mind, Bautista had some health issues late last season and even delayed his start to spring training. You've got to think about the big picture. That's why, and I get it, because in the moment you want to win every ball game. And Brandon Hyde wants to do that too. Let's be clear about that. And I'm not saying that he makes every decision that it's perfect and it's always going to work out, but you do have to manage for the long term. And when you have a situation where you're playing so many close games and you're having to rely on so many different bullpen arms, you really do have to pass the baton a little bit. So, to your point, over the last 3 weeks, Cano's been outstanding. Doesn't mean that he won't go through some rough patches himself, but I don't know. I look at this guy and he looks pretty real to me in terms of someone that is going to continue to be effective. He's not going to continue to be this effective, but I think he's someone who's going to help them and really make a difference for them over the course of the season. But you've got to keep guys healthy. You've got to keep guys on routine. You've got to give guys some breathers when it calls for it. And certainly you look at Cano, I think I saw a stat. I don't have it in front of me, but I saw it on Sunday. I want to say since he was recalled from the minors, he's first, second, third in innings or something like that out of the bullpen in the majors. I mean, he's been thrown a lot, he's thrown a lot. So it just speaks to how effective he's been and how much the Orioles have needed him because they continue to be in these close games.
Well, you talk about close games, and then there's tie games, and then there's ninth inning, and there's 10th inning. So Sunday was unique in that the game started at 11:30 in the morning, so we could talk about how weird that was, and Peacock, and Ben McDonald, and Andrew Jones, and the weird camera angles, and the fuzzy view of the game, and like all of that. But you get to the 10th inning of a game at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, right? Because they started at breakfast, and Cano comes out in the ninth inning, and then the 10th inning, you bring your closer in. And look, I've watched some of this crappy baseball over the last couple of years, and they're moving rules around and changing things. And this runner on second base has become, I don't know, a little bit like being a hockey fan where they would play 5 minutes and all tie and go home back in the 80s and 90s, where it wasn't any fun. And we've had baseball games, and I always talk about the time, and you can look this one up. My favorite, you were a teacher. Don't tell Moeller this, but he knows this. My favorite teacher in high school was a man named Don Leifert, who was Don Moeller's best friend. Don was my journalism teacher. He was everybody's favorite journalism teacher. So if you ever run into Kevin Eck or any of the Dundalk High Mafia from that era, we all had Don Leifert. And Don Leifert loved, 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 loved baseball. Loved the Orioles, loved my cousin, loved me. And when I don't know if you could do this anymore. I have to ask Sue Monday, who was my English teacher as well, who went to the 1983 World Series Game 4 with us, which you probably can't do now, especially if you're a woman. If you're a 29-year-old woman, you can't take three 16-year-old kids from high school to a World Series game. And I think if you're a 45-year-old school teacher, maybe you can't just throw one of your students in the car and go to the afternoon game. But Don Moeller and I did that back in 82 or 83. And we went to a game together. We talked for years about going to a game, and we went to the game together. And Brooke Jacoby hit a home run in the 19th inning off the Orioles. I remember sitting there with Moeller. It was like a 1 o'clock or Leifert. 1 o'clock game was like getting dark. It was like a 7-hour baseball game back in the day. And Brooke Jacoby hit a home run. There are no more 19-inning game. You know, Cal Ripken playing and playing Pawtucket and playing 3 days worth of baseball and all that. That, I mean, putting this runner on second base, it's an invitation. I said to my wife's like, "What are they doing?" And I said, "Well, it's 2 o'clock. They got to get the game over." You know, and I know this is really more about saving pitching and saving arms, and you can't go reliever to reliever to reliever, and the limitations of rosters being different than the, but Earl Weaver would come back, and I can't imagine what Earl effing Weaver would make of that, and how weird it is for pitchers. You bring your closer in and say, "Got a guy on second base, go get 3 outs." You know, all of the stats of baseball, all of the baseball. It's just not baseball to me. It's Little League. It's pitcher's handout. It's all the stupid stuff we used to play in Rob DeBase's backyard, catching off of anything with wiffle ball. It's dumb. I don't know what else to say. It's exciting. I'll give you that. Guy on second base, single ends the game. I mean, every time the Braves would come up in the ninth, 10th, 11th, walk-off opportunity. It's a walk-off opportunity. Vesgersian, Matt Vesgersian. Walk-off opportunity for the home team. And I'm like, who came up with this? Why did anybody think this was a good idea?
Well, I think people saw it because they didn't want 17-inning games. And the difference, if that, putting aside the concerns about pitching, is you have all these high-leverage relievers. And we just spent time talking about Felix Bautista and Brian Baker and Yennier Cano. And you look at the strikeout rates, you were having these 17-inning games, but nothing was happening in extra innings. And it was just a bunch of strikeouts. And yeah, you'd mix in a couple walks here and there. But I think, you know, there was concerns about that as well. So look, I'm not going to sit here and say that I love the Ghost Runner, because I don't. What I would like to see, and it does kind of, you know, it would be the middle road here. I'd like to see them play at least a couple normal extra innings. And if it's still tied in the 12th, let's say, then let's do this. You know what
I
I
would
mean?
like to
Like,
say, like, you're a reasonable cat. You're as reasonable. You're way more reasonable than me. Wait till the Lamar Jackson segment comes up, and you have the parade, and I say maybe not, and that makes me. You hate Steve Bisciotti because you think Lamar Jackson can't win a Super Bowl. I don't know. You haven't listened here for 6 years. If you think I've been the guy saying, run into the linebackers, run it more, Lamar. So we'll get around to throwing it at some point. You'll be really good at it one day, but we'll pay you ahead of time. So all of that. So we'll get into that. But the baseball side of this, you are the level-headed guy here. I'm just asking, and I'm not being a jerk. How did they get 30 white men? Because that's all there is. It's baseball. Let's be honest. How did they get 30 white men, old guys, get in a room and ever make this law? Like, what's who liked this? Who loved this? Who loved this and said, gotta get the games over, gotta get the games over, gotta go home. Can't have pitchers, don't want extra innings, don't want to play the game the way it's been played for 125 years. We want to bastardize the major league version of this game and bring in beer softball, Eddie Fainer rules. I mean, I don't. I still go back to there are things they've done that are better. Pitch clock, I'll give them all the credit in the world. A month in, they should never go back to the other way. And that's one of the ways they get the games over 2 o'clock when they start them at 11:30 and play 13 innings or whatever, right? But I really do wonder who it when the door closed and they were at owners' meetings, they checked the box and said, this is the way we should play. Is it some idiot like John Angelos doesn't know anything about baseball? I mean, seriously, like, who were the 20 out of 30 votes or whatever they needed to get to this? Because I go to these owners' meetings for football. It's hard to change anything in football. And I remember replay, last 2 minutes, review, rule, what is pass interference? They still haven't figured that out. They still haven't. But I know how hard it is to change anything. How in the world did this get changed to make this happen for real? Not in minor leagues or in B league to see how this would really play out. How major does anybody like it? Do any of the players like it?
There are lots of fans who like it. There are lots of fans who like it. I
Well, then
see it
they
on
don't like
Twitter. Now,
baseball.
I think we got to be careful with that, you know, because,
I
you know,
don't think it's baseball. It's not baseball. It's
I don't know.
Florida situational 9:30 in the morning instruction in February. You got a runner on second. This is a situation. Let's throw some strikes. You know, like
I think that's a bit much, but Look, I again, like I said, I don't really like it. However, goes back to what we just said with the pitch clock. They didn't want these games going on forever. They don't want to wear out their bullpen that they have to then dip into Triple A and start optioning players and all of that. The genesis of it, of course, they've tested out rules in the minors for a number of years now. The pitch clock was nothing. That's why I think a team like the Orioles are probably at an advantage with the pitch clock because so many of their young players started dealing with it in the minors the last couple of years. So clearly, the pandemic had a big part of that. They were trying to shorten games and get guys off the field as much as they possibly could, specifically in that 2020 season. Now, justification to keep it after that, I think, is kind of flimsy. But they want to shorten the games, and the pitch clock was part of that. Some of the other rules that have been in place have been part of that. So they want action. They want someone on the bases. If you're going to have extra innings, they don't want it to just be one team's high leverage reliever striking out the side, and then the other team's high
To
leverage
earn
reliever.
second base. That's all. I
I
mean,
hear you. I hear you. At the same time,
I think it's good. Having
well.
been now, dude, to your point, look, the
Okay.
Orioles have stunk and it didn't matter last year. It did,
So,
it's going to never matter the last 8 years, right? But
right.
this year it matters. They're in a big series, full ballpark. They started the game at breakfast. They started the game before anybody was watching, right?
But
So now you've got the
that's
game
a
on and like you're in a great game. It's a
right.
great series, two very good
Right.
teams. It could be a World Series matchup preview, Luke Jones. It could be, and it was fizzly. It felt in a high lever in a big game. And we, but there are no big games. It's May. I'll call it a big game. I mean, I will. It was a big game. I mean, it was an
For May, it
interesting.
was, sure.
Yeah, I mean, it was as big a game as May this since they played since 1997. I mean, really. And it was cheapened from a. Fans, from my perspective, I'm sitting there. I'm like, well, my wife's like, why are they doing this at 11:30 game? I said, they do it every day, and they do it so you can go cut the grass. They want you to go home quick. Like literally, I said, they want to get this over with so you can go do something else.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to a fan who likes baseball. Like to me, I'm not in a hurry for them to get it. You're a 76ers fan. Do you want them to get the series over, or do you want them to play? You want them to play. If you care enough about the game, I don't know. This would be the
Yeah.
type of thing that would kill a postseason for me. You know what I mean?
All the well, they don't do it in the
I
postseason.
understand that
Right.
because they
But
want
I
to
hear
play
you.
real
Sure,
baseball.
sure, sure. No, I hear you. I'll say this.
Sunday's game counted too, by the way.
And I should have made this point earlier, because you asked about the owners. I think we've seen all kinds of evidence from Rob Manfred down to the 30 other owners. And I don't want to say down, he works for them. I don't know how many of them really like baseball because of,
Ha
as
ha
much as I
ha.
do look at the pitch clock, good. As much as I do look at how they have restricted the shift, as much as I wasn't necessarily championing that, I understand it certainly. I do think it has made the game better from an aesthetic standpoint, even if I kind of struggled with the idea that you were eliminating the strategic evolution of the game there. But we've seen rule changes all the time, including the NFL, as you mentioned. But I think we've seen plenty of elements, and going right down to how about the fact that you and I, before we even began our conversation, as we were talking about this, we made mention that both of us had our own issues finding the game on Sunday, because what you the start time, me, I for whatever reason I had in my head, I knew they had the 11:35 start. But I had in my head that that was the Apple TV game. And the Apple TV game is, I guess, Friday night. So then I thought, okay, it's on Peacock. I get Peacock because I'm a WWE fan and WWE Network's on Peacock. So I put that on. But then I realized, oh, it's actually on NBC. And, streaming's not great at my house. So then ended up putting it on satellite. But,
I couldn't find
I
it. I couldn't find
yeah.
it. And I didn't go
So,
looking for it until like 12:45. And then somehow I looked on Twitter and saw like
right.
fourth inning. And I'm like, I remembered when I saw the schedule last
Right.
month that, oh, that Sunday game against the Braves. This is before they were even any good. The last time I looked, because I only looked at the April schedule, not the May schedule, right?
Right.
And I'm like, oh yeah. But by the time I realized they were playing, it was already pregame time. It was 12:40 or whatever, and then looking for the game. And every time this happens, I think. And by the way, I want you to know this. I went out on Saturday, I'm 54 years old and about 7 months. Do you know the senior citizen discount now in a lot of places is 55, Luke? I'm giving you something you can look forward to because you're getting there, all right? I mean, almost, right?
I'm not that
Pushing 40
close.
on you. Yeah, I got you. We're getting up on a 40 for you. But 55 is considered senior now to get discounts, to get your 10%, which I think's great. I mean, move it up for me. That's great. It's not going to make my hair any more silver. But, like, what do old people do? I mean, I'm almost old,
Well,
dude. I guess that's my point.
and the point I was trying to make was because I was saying that you come back to the 30 owners and wondering how much they care about baseball. Look how difficult they've made the product to consume. And this was just one example. I mean, my gosh, we've talked, you and I have talked at years about Masson and blackouts and all the problems that baseball has
Luke,
had.
how was the
And
game on Saturday? Tell everybody how much you enjoyed the game Saturday.
Saturday, I couldn't watch where I live because
And you
the,
live 20 minutes from me.
I mean, and I could have got, I do have an antenna and I could have gotten that out and connected it to my TV, but the local Fox affiliate in Southern York County was showing the Phillies, which I ended up watching the Phillies then. And I followed the Orioles. Then I'm like, oh,
So
I can watch.
the Orioles know that 20, 30, 40% of their fan base
But that's
outside of having
right.
Baltimore cable can't watch the Oriole game.
Well, and that's, but that's a Major League Baseball thing there. And the Orioles being one of 30 teams. Yeah. But that was the point I was making though about what happened Sunday in terms of the owners at times making decisions that don't reflect having a great amount of passion for baseball. You know, hence you get something like the extra inning rule. Whether, you know, again, there are people who like it and there are a lot of baseball fans who hate it. And I get it. I would just like to see a middle road because I do get some of the concerns, not so much about the time of game, but the strain they're putting on bullpen arms. I mean, we began our conversation talking about how many bullpen arms or how many bullpen innings the Orioles throw. So you
Three
do.
extra innings, 9, 10, and 11, the way they play the game now, and the way that you can't go scratch your nuts, go to the bullpen, you play with yourself, step off the mound, step out of the bottom. None of that can happen. Three extra innings would only take an hour, right? So,
Yeah.
like, you would take a 2 hour and 45 or three, and make it an hour
Yeah.
longer. Extra inning games that last 12 innings only happen so often.
Now let me
I don't
ask.
know. I'm with you. The 12th inning thing, like if I'm a representative of the, if I'm TJ Brightman, I go in there and I vote 12th inning. 12th inning. I mean, let's start this, but let's not go crazy with this in the 10th inning.
Right.
And I
Yeah,
don't know
that's how I would
how
do it.
cooler heads that you're being. Your proposal is sensible to me, and that's exactly what I thought watching it yesterday. I'm like, why are they doing this to a perfectly good 1-1 game,
Yeah.
getaway day against the Braves in a big series. This is the first time the Orioles have played a big series, a big game, interleague. It's the rubber match, all of that. I felt like, like they had one chance to sort of excite me a little bit. And it's not because the
Yeah.
Orioles lost. I thought it was great when they got the cheap run. They almost got a second cheap run, right? In the 10th. This has nothing to do with the Orioles or Peter Angelos or this is just about being a fan and
Yeah.
them screwing the game up
Yeah.
and
Yeah.
bastardizing the game. And that's not, and I'm not an old guy. Get off my porch. I've been telling them to play DH in the National League for 31 years now, right? And they finally caught on to that because some things make sense and some things don't. Sticking a ghost runner on second base in the 10th inning isn't baseball. It's dumb. It's dumb shit we would have come up with in wiffle ball when we were 9 years old. Because we didn't like baseball enough. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Just watch a major league game just get torn apart in the 10th inning, a really good game. There's no reason for that. And maybe
Yeah.
on some night when nobody's watching and the Marlins are playing some other god-awful franchise, the A's that nobody cares about, I don't need 15 innings of that, right? But when there's a good game,
Yeah.
they killed a good game. I think they killed a good game on Sunday for me.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you can't differentiate between those two scenarios, but yeah, I hear you on that. And I mean, I guess, you know, the other proposal I don't even know if it was a proposal, but they at least talked about the idea of you would play 12 or 13 innings and just have ties, which, you know, I don't, I'm not at all
Oh,
cool with that.
no. We're not doing
Yeah,
that.
I mean,
Have a home run
and that's
derby. Have a home run derby in the 14th. Have
where I
a
right.
golden goal.
Well, and that, you just said it. I mean, that's why I kind of go back to how hockey handles it, where what you play a 5 minute overtime and then you have your shootout,
I
right? I
hated the
mean,
shootouts, but the shootouts are fun. And by the time you get there,
yeah.
it's 11 o'clock at night and it's time to go home, and that's fine.
And that's where I would say, give me a 10th and 11th inning of normal extra inning baseball. And then if they're still tied going to the 12th, then knock yourself out. Do it. Especially now, because we've shaved roughly, the last I saw, we're still around a half hour average time of game down from where we had been. So there you go.
Well,
There's
why
your
not play
half
four
hour.
outs
And
or two outs or,
yeah, well, I
pitcher's
mean,
hand out? I mean, they're not really playing baseball, putting a guy on second base to decide a game. I mean, they might as well do home run derby or.
yeah, I
I
mean,
mean, the shootouts aren't a great way to. I mean, I don't want to sit here. Don't make me a fan of shootouts, especially not in soccer.
well, and
You
that's,
know?
but that's where we get into this. And look, I mean, with hockey, I mean, I'm actually surprised the NBA has not done something, because they continue to play overtimes. And,
Oh,
not that you,
the last
not,
5 minutes of an NBA game could take 45 minutes.
no, but my point is they haven't done anything to change their mechanism, despite the fact that they have an 82 game regular season, which even basketball fans say is too long,
Well,
that
guys don't
they,
even play half the games, right? I mean, you
well,
know.
right,
I mean,
but
Luke, you're off on Wednesday, load management. You do radio on Monday and Tuesday. There's no way you can do radio on
But
Wednesday.
my point is with that is you haven't seen them do anything to bastardize the game once they get to overtime or double overtime or triple overtime or anything like that. They've continued to treat it like normal overtime, right? So as I'm saying this, they'll probably change it this year.
Well, the bastardization of basketball happened when they added the three.
I guess.
Yeah, that changed everything. That changed
I mean, well, I mean,
fundamentally changed the sport.
every
Changed
game
everything
changes,
about sport.
but every game changes. I mean, no game. That's why trying to compare what happens today to 30 years ago, let alone, my gosh, talking about comparing someone today to Babe Ruth, especially pre-integration in baseball. I mean, it really is apples to oranges in terms of what kind of sport it is. But, I get it. There's a middle road here. I don't like the extra runner at second base, but I would like to see that, especially now with the pitch clock, that you have cut down on time of game. Play the 10th and the 11th inning normally. I would say, and I don't have this data in front of me, obviously, but I would say most extra inning games are decided in 10 or 11 innings, right? I mean, I don't think I'm talking out of turn just saying that. So do that. See if you can get a game over in 11 innings with normal rules staying
You
in
know the other
place.
thing I'm thinking
And
about
then,
with team sports, though? Like you say, they get over quickly. Hockey and soccer and these other sports, you pack it in, you play defense, right? We've seen lesser teams, especially in the World Cup, lesser team, if you get into extra time, all you do is play defense, right? Just
Yeah.
make sure they don't score,
Right.
and then we go to penalty kicks. We've seen that be like it. I know you don't watch soccer. It's not great. You know what I mean? But with baseball, you can't do that. It's
Right.
almost the opposite, putting a guy on second base. It's almost like saying, we're going to play 13 on 11 for a little while and see whether you can stop it or not. And then we're going to flip the field. I mean,
I mean, they're trying to force action. Again, so much of this is also a product of bullpenning becoming such a thing. And you've got so many hard. I mean, look at the Orioles bullpen. I mean, look at the guys they have in their bullpen now, the arms they have, and the guys that can, get strikeouts and all of that. So the thought was, okay, our games are too long. We're already having so much swing and miss, especially when we get into these bullpens. I mean, these guys are just like wizards the way that they can throw. They throw as hard as they can, and they've got wicked breaking stuff. And these teams are already striking out 10, 11, 12, 15 times a game. We saw the Orioles have a high strikeout game over the weekend, where they, struck out, what, 16 times on Saturday, whatever it was. So we don't want extra innings to continue indefinitely with that same thing. So we put the runner on second. It'll force some action. But, it brings bunts into play. It brings sacrifice flies into play. It brings moving a runner over with a ground ball to the right side into play. I get the rationale. At the same time, I very much am with you. And amazing, we're agreeing on something, right? I mean, because you
never
mentioned LeVar a
happens.
few minutes ago,
We
but
got together on Sunday night and decided we were going to agree on this, so.
there really is something to the idea of. I get it. If we don't want the game to go 19 innings, I understand that. But do we need to have this thing become some weird version of baseball in the 10th inning? Or can we play it out at least a couple innings and then we'll go to that. That's where I would like to see the middle road here, especially on the heels of the pitch clock
At
being adopted.
1:40 in the afternoon, I think everybody in Atlanta and everybody in TV land that
Was fine.
could find the game and the Peacock world would have been just fine watching normal
Right.
baseball for another 45 minutes or so, or 30 minutes
Yeah,
or so, right?
I think that's
For the
totally
pitch clock.
fair.
By the way, anybody coming to the ballpark this week? You going to the ballpark? Who's going to the ballpark this week, Luke?
I mean, I'll be at the ballpark. I mean, it's funny. We've said this for years. I mean, the Rays don't draw in their own ballpark. So, I mean, the idea that you're going to have a packed ballpark in for the Rays in May, I'd love to say it will be. Do I think there'll be a few more fans than what we'd normally see? Yeah. Do I think we're at the point yet where it's going to be 30,000? No. I mean, I think we're still a long way to go from that. But anyone who is going to be there, they're going to be treated to some really good baseball because, I mean, we'll see how the Orioles fare. Tampa Bay is really, really good. Look at the run differential. Look at their pitching stats. Look at how they've hit the ball. We're used to the Rays pitching. They hit the ball. I mean, look at that lineup. And I mean, they have been really, really, really good. And the Orioles are going to have their hands full. Not to say that they can't take two out of three and they won't win the series, but this is going to be a big test for them. And we'll see how it plays out here over the next 3 days. Should be fun.
I'm out on SeatGeek. $11 on Monday, $8 on Tuesday, $11 on Wednesday. Pirates come to town. Must be giving something away on Saturday night. It's $25. Orioles are home. I'm holding out. Next week, tickets are 15, 14, 15, 12. I'm holding out for whatever day Shohei Ohtani may hurl. I'm a Shohei. I've never seen him. I had a chance to see him pitch in the Bronx. I had a chance to see him pitch here. It's not about playing. I want to, you know, I want to see Shohei Ohtani at some point.
I think I saw one of what is it? Jeff Fletcher, I think, covers the Angels. I want
Former
to
guest on
say,
the show, good friend.
yeah, I want to say he has a calendar that he'll update from time to time on Twitter. I saw this probably a week ago, so it may have changed. I have no idea what their schedule has been. I want to say Ohtani was in line to pitch Monday, but don't quote me on that. I think that's where it was lining up to be, though.
All right. Well, it's Preakness week next week. It's Preakness 2 weeks. We're going to be doing some Preakness stuff around here this week. Larry Stewart from Coppin State going to be joining us this week. We had an incredible conversation with Pete Carungi as well as Glenn McFall over McFall's Oyster and Reel. We did the crab cake tour there last week. We'll be doing it this week at State Fair. Hence, I'm wearing the State Fair shirt. Hi to Evan and everybody. Bill Wiedell from CFG Bank's going to be over talking about Janet Jackson and Anita Baker this week and Brian Adams next month and Joan Jett. And I spent the weekend rocking out at M3 with my boys from Child's Play. We'll be there on Friday giving away the Maryland lottery tickets. Come on out to State Fair. We had a lot of winners last week. Last 2 weeks, we had a lot of lottery winners. I had some people yelling at the bar down in Essex and McFalls. Hey, I won $10. Good stuff. It's all brought to you by our friends at Window Nation as well. 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. We'll be telling you all about that all summer long. We are at the local on the 23rd. If you're up in Fallston doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, we're going to be coming to your town soon, including Southwest Baltimore. I got a Halethorpe stop, got a Wilkins Avenue stop coming up. We've got a Harford County stop coming up above and beyond Fallston. So we're going to be out and about, all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and Window Nation. Luke's going to be at the ballpark. I'd say he'll be there late, but if it gets too tight in the ninth, 10th inning, they'll just put a guy on second base and end the thing. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore positive. Enjoy the games.